What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Monday, April 7th. Feeling a little congested from the weekend. I really don't even know why, but if you're like, wait a minute, is that Andy? Yes, it is me, but just with a little congestion. Taking a few things to try to clear that up, and hopefully should be a lot better when I'm talking to you guys tomorrow. I didn't want to email the station and be like, yo, you know, I'm not 100% today. My voice is a little messed up. So just give me the day off. No, you know what? You got to battle through it sometimes. And it doesn't sound that bad. Although some of you might be like, Slater, you sound better than ever because normally you stink. As long as you tune in, that's all that matters. Are you guys going to tune in tonight to the championship game? The NCAA title will be decided this evening. That's always fun. Anytime you can get a championship decided, it's worth watching. The Florida Gators going up against the University of Houston. Brackets will be decided if they're not already. Every office normally has that bracket pool. Most of you have already gone bust with them, but somebody will be handed the money, maybe from petty cash, if that still exists. Somebody will get that money from the office pool tomorrow. I did not do a bracket this year. I don't think I've done a bracket in the last 5 or 6 years, but now with the Hard Rock Bet app, why even do a bracket when you can have action all the time? Before the game, during the game, just not after the game. I know we would love to put wagers in when we already know the result. Wouldn't that be fun? If you could just do it like once in your life, put together a 20-team parlay and you already know the results. It's like your own lottery ticket. Put $1,000 on it, win a couple million, and then you're set. But no, it doesn't work like that. Sometimes there are errors and people try to take advantage of them. And that's when you get caught because you know what you're doing. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get them. And then it's like you can't even wager anymore. So is it even worth it? Just be real. You know, on this show, I'm always all about honesty. There's no point in doing that. So you get somebody once and then you're going to be shut down, as you should be. I'll be here the entire week. At least I hope so. Depends on my voice, but it's getting better. And I'm locked and loaded for you. I am getting ready, though, for a big trip in 2 weeks from now. I do take a yearly vacation, and I'm going back to Spain. I'm going to go to Barcelona, and then after Barcelona, I'm going to go to Madrid. So I'll be with you all this week. I'll be with you all next week. And then the following 2 weeks, I will be off going on that vacation. The time difference, it's just way out of whack. So I thought about bringing the equipment at least for a week, do the show and only take a week off. I thought about that last year. I thought about it this year. But I feel like we all deserve a vacation. We all deserve time off. You guys get vacation at your jobs. I get vacation here. You guys deserve it. I deserve it. So I'm going to go to Spain. 6-hour time difference from Miami. 7 hours from Medellin. So I will be away from the office. I was telling my friends that the best thing about being in Spain, other than the incredible food and also amazing views, really nice views, is that 6-hour time difference. So while all of you are still asleep, I'm already like doing everything for the day. I'm having breakfast, I'm going out, I'm having lunch, and nobody is bothering me on my phone. I'm not getting messages. I don't have to check anything on Twitter. Like, nothing is going on. Because in Spain, when it's 2 p.m., it's 8 a.m. in Miami. So everyone's just starting their day, and it's 2 p.m. in Spain. I've already been up and at it. So that's what I really enjoy. And then when people want to start messaging me later at night, like 7, 8, 9 p.m., I'm probably getting to sleep already. So I don't even have to deal with those messages. I'll see them when I wake up, and then it's so early in the morning to respond on the East Coast. I'm just like, the heck with it. So I'm going to enjoy those 2 weeks. I hope you guys will be okay without me for 2 weeks. Some of you will be celebrating. You'll get to listen to some national programming, and maybe you'll enjoy it. But I know in the end, you'll miss me. We're in the home stretch right now, and that's why I want to be here at this moment. That's why, no matter how I'm feeling, congestion, voice, whatever it is, I got to be here because it's the home stretch. The Miami Heat, the Florida Panthers, they're both getting ready for their postseasons. The Heat, they're going to be in the play-in tournament. The Florida Panthers, they're in it. They already clinched. But at this point, it looks like they might be a wild card. And maybe Paul Maurice doesn't even care about that. Because you look at the lineup he threw out there yesterday. We already know the Panthers can do well no matter where they're positioned. They were number 8, and they got to the Stanley Cup Final. The year before that, they were number 1, and they were ousted. As long as the Panthers are healthy, they're going to be okay. But they may be starting at Toronto. And if they're not starting at Toronto, they will most likely start at Tampa. That's the way it looks right now. But as long as they're in, that's all we need. With the Heat, I don't even know if they'll get in. I mean, they're going to be in the play-in tournament. But the fear with the Miami Heat is that even in the play-in tournament, it might be over very quickly. They have not exactly put themselves in a great position. But we'll watch them this week. They got 4 games to go. See where all of this ends up. So we got basketball. We got hockey. We've got the college basketball title on the line tonight. We've got baseball being played. I know the Marlins, they were rained out yesterday, but they picked up a win the day before that, and they're still above 500. They're no longer in first place in the NL East, but still, 9 games played. They have 5 victories, and now they'll be taking on the New York Mets in New York. I'll be watching those games. I'm going to be watching everything. There's so much action. And as far as football goes, I will get to some Miami Dolphins talk. The draft is just a few weeks away. A lot of Dolphins fans getting ready for that draft. I don't know how much you can get ready for it as a fan, but if you're a diehard, you do. You start looking at mock drafts. I would be a lot more excited for the draft if the Dolphins had a top 5 pick, or if there was a lot of chatter about the Dolphins trading up. That doesn't necessarily mean the Dolphins won't trade up, because sometimes things just happen and you don't hear about them. They're actually kept a pretty good secret. It happens from time to time. But I don't anticipate the Miami Dolphins doing anything big other than taking maybe the best offensive lineman on the board. And now there's even more reason to, with Teron Armstead announcing his retirement over the weekend. Okay, so I got a lot of things in front of me. I got papers to my left. I got papers to my right. I've got my Celsius, which I should crack open right about now, but I'm having a tough time getting my finger under the thing, and there we go. Didn't really seem like a lot of carbonation there. Take a sip of that. And now I can get to everything I want to. But you know how it goes. I can't until the hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
You guys should know by now what I'm here for. I'm here to serve all of you. And you are a South Florida sports fan. Unless you're somebody from New York or Boston and you still can't stand the weather, so you're just chilling in Florida for a few more weeks. I don't blame you. But I'm not talking to exactly you right now. I'm talking to the longtime South Florida resident. If you have lived in South Florida long enough, you know that a big part of South Florida is Gator Nation. You may not like them. You certainly may not love them. Somebody in your house might be a Gator. You might be driving around with one of those bumper stickers that says divided house. Maybe you got a Gator and a Seminole. Maybe you got a Gator and a Cane. But that's just reality. There's a lot of Gators in South Florida. And I'm not talking about just the ones that are around golf courses. The Florida Gators are on the doorstep of doing something very special. I'm not big time in the college basketball. If you've tuned into the show long enough, and this month is 17 years of doing this, I don't talk a lot of college hoops because our teams are never doing that well. 2 years ago, I spoke plenty about it. Do I watch some? Yes, but we got a championship being decided tonight. We have a lot of Gators in South Florida. And they're doing something very special. I know they had their moment a long time ago when they won back-to-back championships. But that was the Billy Donovan era. Billy was just named to the Hall of Fame. He was able to build an empire at UF. But for the general college hoops fans, the feeling was, okay, they had their run, but the Gators are not a true blue blood program. They're not an every single year contender. If they win tonight, if they're cutting down those nets, that'll be their third championship. It's a new era for them. It's a fairly new coach in Todd Golden. And given how strong the SEC is, not only in football, but in hoops, if the Gators can seal the deal against Houston, suddenly the Gators program takes a leap. They're not there yet. They're not Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, Carolina, UCLA. But they could take a huge step forward. The key for the Gators tonight, and trust me, the only reason I'm talking about this is because I know there's Gators fans in South Florida. It's a title on the line this evening. And it seems like all tournament long, the key for them, Walter Clayton Jr. There's always a dude who emerges during the NCAA tournament who the average fan may not have heard of. And then suddenly, boom, that player becomes a household name. And if you didn't tune in to much college basketball at all, but you will tonight, you will see Walter Clayton Jr. is that dude. He's so tough. He's such a tough basket getter. And when the game gets tight and the Gators need a basket, it seems like time after time, he's going to be the one to do it for them. And if you saw any of that second half performance against Auburn, keep in mind, that was the number one ranked team in the entire tournament. To be down at the half like that and then scrap and claw, what a performance. Now, Houston, From what I could tell, their D is nuts. The game tonight will be about pace. Houston's D wants to slow the game down. Kind of what they did to Duke on Saturday night. That was impressive. One basket over the final 10 minutes to the highest scoring team in the tournament. Houston is really mentally tough. Kelvin Sampson has built a great culture at Houston. It's amazing. This is their seventh Final Four, zero rings. Tonight will be huge either way. So I hope the Gators fans in this audience are happy with me right now that I brought this up and that I led the hour with it, that I gave them a sufficient amount of love. And I did it because this is a championship game. I love it when the stakes are high. But if you think I'm going to give you an X's and O's chalk talk about this game tonight, well, forget about it. I can't do that. Nor would I want to, even if I could. Houston, I saw, I believe it was the first time on Saturday night. You want me to give you X's and O's about them? It ain't going to happen. And I got no shame. I'm not coming here pretending today to be all into college basketball. You all would call me out, rightfully so. I just don't talk college hoops here. We don't have enough college hoops fans in South Florida. But this Gators team, I have seen them play. I know we have a lot of Gators in South Florida, and they have that special feel to them where they can get it done this evening. Tonight, we will see how special the Florida Gators really are. When I talk basketball here on this program, I prefer talking about the NBA. And I'm not a fake national show. I'm not going to come on here and talk about the Cavs or the Celtics or what's going on with the Lakers. No, you find that in a million other places. I'm here to talk about our local presence, and that would be the Miami Heat. What's going to happen with them over the next 10 days or so? It's a good question. Maybe I got some answers. Whether they're true or not remains to be seen. I know what is true. My next poker tournament is going to have a minimum of $50,000 up for grabs. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament next Tuesday night. That's April 15th in the Poker Room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. The buy-in is just $250, and the minimum amount in the prize pool will be $50,000. That is our biggest guarantee yet. You guys have been showing up, and more people have been coming out to my monthly poker tournament at the Hard Rock. They said, Andy, we're going $50,000 minimum, and the buy-in of $250 remains the same. So here are the details on how you can get in, because I get asked this a lot. It's $250 to enter, and you can enter starting next Tuesday, April 15th, in the poker room at the Hard Rock. The tournament starts at 6 p.m., but you got until 9:30 p.m. to get a seat. Put a reminder in your phone or put it in your head. Next Tuesday night, April 15th, $50,000 minimum up for grabs. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament in the Poker Room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I keep seeing all these tweets about the Miami Heat. The Heat are going to be in 8th. The Heat are going to be in 9th. The Heat are going to be in 10th. Over and over, we're talking about the play-in tournament for the Miami Heat. And that's not where you want to be. But unfortunately, that's where this organization has been for too many years. It's hard to believe they were just a couple years ago in Denver. I was there too. They were playing in the NBA Finals. It was amazing. They're in the NBA Finals in Denver. The Panthers are in the Stanley Cup Final in Vegas. I'm traveling back and forth between the two cities. It was fantastic. I mean, neither had the right result, at least the one that we wanted. But at least the following year, the Panthers hoisted that Stanley Cup. Hope it happens again this season. They may wind up with a wild card, the way things have been going for them lately. And the Miami Heat, I wouldn't quite say it's a wild card, but the play-in tournament is not where you want to be. And then the bottom half of it is definitely not where you want to be, where you've got to win twice. Not only are they in the 10th spot right now, they're a game back of Chicago. If they stay there, that means they have to win not only two games, but they got to win two games on the road. Whoever wins the 7-8 play-in game, they get the 7th seed. And then they take on the winner of the 9-10 game. The loser of that 9-10 game is gone. The winner of the 9-10 game goes on the road. It's got to beat the loser of the 7-8. In other words, if the Miami Heat finish in that 10th spot, winning two games both on the road to win the 8th seed and have your prize as playing the Cavs in round one, that's not so promising. There's four games left. As I said, the Heat are one game behind the Bulls. If they could pick up some ground, if they can gain one game on Chicago, at least the first play-in game would be in Miami. Then you get one home game. So that do-or-die first round, you got it at home. You still would need to win a second game, and that would be on the road. It's definitely better to be 9 than 10, but you'd rather be in the top six in the Miami Heat. They may have looked like they could be there for a little bit, and then that 10-game losing streak didn't do them any good. This is a conversation that we do not want to have. When we're talking about the play-in tournament and trying to get the 9 seed so you could at least have one home game, I mean, where really are you as an organization? They choked again the other night. I know they were taking on Milwaukee, but still, they had the game and they lost. And that was after they lost to Memphis on Thursday night because of a Ja Morant buzzer beater. So all of this talk about the play-in tournament, if that is the convo, where are you really going? You don't want to be in that convo this time of the year, not any time of the year. And the only way to fix it is this summer. The Heat will have one draft pick, which is probably not going to be in the top five. So if you're not drafting in the top five, you're not taking somebody who's going to change your franchise. That means you got to go after someone who might be disgruntled, somebody who could be on the move, somebody in free agency. Because 2 weeks from now, we might be done with the Heat season. And the only action we're going to be able to get down the line is from Pat Riley in the front office. If we're not going to get games from the Miami Heat at the end of April and into May, well, then we better get some talk about some action happening. And not talk about minor moves. I don't want to be discussing ant bites, unless the ant stands for Anthony Edwards. The Miami Heat need to take a big swing. My contention earlier this year was, okay, the Heat, they did a two-step process. Step one, get rid of Jimmy Butler. That had to happen, especially with the way he exited, the level of oxygen he took up around the team and around the entire franchise. You had to get rid of him. The Miami Heat did. That was step one. The return they got for Jimmy, it was meh. It was like, meh, okay. Andrew Wiggins is okay. He's far from the answer. Mitchell might have a future with the Heat if he can continue to play at a high defensive level at all times, not just sometimes. And Kyle Anderson is okay. Nothing special there. He's a veteran, but Just another guy. So phase two of the Jimmy removal, that's got to happen sooner than later. It's got to happen this summer. I don't know if it's going to be KD, although the Heat have had their eyes on him for quite some time. Maybe it's Zion. It's got to be somebody big. No, I'm not being literal about Zion there. But they got to make a big move, a powerful, impactful move. Something that's a needle mover. Like, hey, there we go. Look at what Pat Riley did. Now we're cooking. That's the kind of move we need to be talking about. They need to make that move because what we have learned watching Bam and Tyler as the guys on the team, we've learned that they're not enough. They aren't going to be guy number one and two of a big three. They're good players. They're all-stars. But are they superstars? No. The NBA is a superstar league. It's not an all-star league. And I'm not giving the Heat a mulligan. I'm not excusing this season and saying, like, whatever, it doesn't matter because Jimmy was a jerk and he torpedoed the whole year. I'm not willing to do that because they should still be held accountable. This season, now that it's pretty much coming to a close for them, it's got to be a pivot to the next era of Miami Heat basketball. And I have a feeling if we end up with a really long offseason, which could be starting in 10 days or less, the Miami Heat are going to have to go big. You got to go big. You go big or you go home. And you do not want the fans going home. You don't want to have a silent offseason where you're just making mediocre moves and fans are like, yeah, okay, yeah, they're just going to kind of run it back and hopefully they'll play better. No. You cannot have anything like that. It's got to be impactful. It's got to be powerful. It's got to be a move where Heat fans are thinking about buying season tickets. We know it's not going to be as big as when the big three came together. Oh my gosh, there's a waiting list now for season tickets. Can you believe it? And people are scalping them for like three times the price. We know that's not going to happen. But it's still got to be something where it propels the Heat to being a real threat. Because right now, they're not threatening at all. The only thing they're threatening is, hey, Chicago, we might play that first play-in game in our place and not yours. What a threat that is. The Miami Dolphins have another open roster spot. Teron Armstead, after a 12-year career, calls it a day. Teron had a party this past weekend to say goodbye. He was a really good player. Five-time Pro Bowler. The only problem was that in South Florida for Miami, Teron was never all that good. He was good when he played, but overall, he didn't play a whole lot. He's a great guy. People love him, rightfully so. Great community guy, a leader, a good soundbite. But he was always hurt. He wasn't injury prone, he was injured. So now in an area where we already knew the Miami Dolphins needed help, we already knew that this offseason they had to target some offensive linemen. Now you don't even have someone you can count on for a few games a season. Unfortunately, that's what happened with Teron being injured, but still, you could count on him for a little bit. Now you've got nothing at all. And you lose him in that locker room. That might be the biggest deal of all. And then Calais Campbell is no longer going to be there. The Miami Dolphins are losing leaders. As far as his role on the field goes, does he have a replacement? Does Patrick Paul just step in and take over that role? We shall see. But in that locker room, that's a big loss. You lose Teron. You lose Calais Campbell. Now your leaders are Tua and Tyreek. Maybe a couple of other guys. A lot of veterans, and by two, I'm saying that's a lot because of their magnitude, are leaving this Miami Dolphins organization. Teron, for health purposes, I'm sure, retiring, not just leaving the Dolphins, but leaving the National Football League. Calais Campbell, we don't know the real story there, but he's going to Arizona. I remember 15 years ago, if the Miami Dolphins had an opening on their O-line, I don't care what time of the year it was, that was a week's worth of shows. It's just funny how the Dolphins have shifted so much in the South Florida landscape. Now we have the Heat. We've got the Panthers. We've got so much other stuff that people are interested in. Even the Marlins, where the days of left tackle radio the entire year, that's not something that we do. Certainly not something I do. And I think sports talk is actually better because we're not doing that. What I really enjoy doing this time of the year, instead of left tackle radio, I like having a baseball conversation. And one guy I love to do that with, Craig Minervini, who you could see on TV, you could hear on the radio. He's all over the place. What I do know is that he'll be with us right after this. Here on this Monday afternoon, one of my favorite people to have on the show, you might be saying, oh, it's Uncle Luke on a Monday. No, it's Craig Minervini joining us on the Andy Slater Show. Craig, you were in Miami. You were in Atlanta. Are you now in New York?
I am. And by the way, Uncle Luke on a Tuesday, much better, but not on a Monday.
Exactly. You're the guy for Mondays.
No. Yes.
So what are you doing in New York? Going to a deli?
I am getting set to do no Broadway. I'm getting set to do a little play-by-play at Citi Field. I'll be doing the radio with the new Marlins radio guy, Jack McMullen, and a guy named Steven Strom, who does the radio for the Marlins. I'm doing actually a bunch of radio this year, about 30-something games.
So you're doing radio other than coming on this show. You're doing radio for the Marlins. You're doing some television for the Marlins. You're doing some pregame for the Marlins. Is there anything you're not doing? Are you going to be pitching soon too?
I am not driving the team bus, Andy, although I did think about it. We were coming in last night. I'm like, there's no way this guy's making this right turn. There's a cab like right there.
Oh, boy.
And I thought he was going to clip it with these big bus. These guys are amazing. I could not do that job.
You should see the bus drivers they have in like Colombia and Costa Rica going through these narrow streets.
Oh,
I mean, you think New York is bad.
Yeah. And we had a police escort out of Atlanta, which, you know, on a Sunday night, I don't know, you know, most major league teams do this, but it's kind of funny because it's not that busy. And yet you got, you know, you're going through red lights to get to the airport to race to get to frosty New York.
You know, that's no different than Medellin. They go through red lights, too, to get to the airport or anywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, so the Marlins are 5-4. They're above 500. They're in New York now. You're there. I mean, if you're there, this has got to be big-time baseball, no?
And they are playing very, very good baseball. They've been a lot of fun. They're scrappy. That's kind of what you heard in spring training. It's not easy, Andy, to win when you have 17 guys making their opening day debuts, although many of these guys did have big league experience. But they're scrappy, and they've been fun. If anybody's been watching, they've been having a good time watching the game so far. It's early, but you really got to like the way things are going. This is a club that they're doing the little things right that has eluded them in the last few years.
Do they seem to you – I mean, yeah, it's early. It's 9 games in. But do they seem to you, Craig, like the team that we had a couple of years ago that wound up making the postseason and going to Philadelphia?
I would say they have some scrap like that team, but maybe, I don't know, the resume is maybe not as full, the back of the baseball card. I mean, here you've got, you know, you've got the the Griffin Conines, young players, Mervis. Otto Lopez is a veteran, but doesn't have a lot of experience. He was waived by the Giants. A lot of college-type players. I don't know if you can compare them yet. I have to look at the two rosters. Nick Fortes has been coming on. He's been a little injured lately. But and then they've got a mixture of the pitching with some kind of almost no-name bullpen guys that are terrific. I mean, they're off to the bullpen has been great. So I'm really encouraged by what I've seen so far.
The rainout yesterday and then Sandy Alcantara now officially being placed on leave for, I guess his wife is having a kid.
Yes.
How much does that hurt? I mean, early in the season, not having Sandy throw that game.
Well, I think for a few reasons. One, if you're the, and I was talking to Clayton McCullough about this in the lobby at the hotel, the Marlins manager, is you want to play that game yesterday because you're playing well. The Braves aren't. They're 1-8. They're not scoring. They don't have Acuna. They've got some injuries to their starting staff. You've got Holmes going for them, who struggled his first time, and you got Sandy coming off a good performance. You wanted to play yesterday. I was surprised we even went to the ballpark. We were ready to go. We have 12 o'clock. We're here, and the game might be on still. And then it was, you look at the forecast, and the rain was as wide as the state of Georgia and moving east. And somehow that we were there. They didn't call it till, I mean, obviously the team gets there in the early morning hour, 9, 10 o'clock or earlier. And they didn't call it till probably 12:30. And I don't even know why they didn't call before the game, you know, well before the game, but that's how it went.
What do we expect to see at Citi Field against the Mets when we already know that the Marlins saw them at Lone Depot?
The Mets are funky. They're 6-3, but they haven't hit yet, which is kind of scary. They're not averaging a lot of runs. They haven't had a lot of slug. Marlins slugging is actually better than the Mets so far, but they have pitched. And you want to talk about a bullpen. They got a 1.29 ERA. It's the best in Major League Baseball right now, not to mention their starters. So I would suggest for the Marlins is they're going to have to keep the game close because they're probably not going to score a heck of a lot if the theme continues with the Met pitching. The Marlins' defense has been good too, Andy. They made 4 errors in one game, but other than that, they've been really good. And so that's been another factor. They've got to play a clean game. There's no doubt about it. You got to kind of, you know, if Alonso gets up, you hope nobody's on base. Lindor's been quiet. You hope to keep him quiet. The Met bats haven't come alive yet, and hopefully they'll keep it that way for 3 more days.
You think some Mets fans, you're there in New York. You think some Mets fans are a little disappointed this afternoon hearing about the Vlad Jr. Contract extension in Toronto?
Big story in the New York Post today by John Heyman on that. You know what? The Mets are 6-3, Andy. They would have liked to make a run at Vlad. If they get him, they don't keep Alonso probably. I think they're right now, I don't think it's that big a deal. Of course, they always in New York seem to want every superstar, no matter if it's the Yankees or the Mets. Don't get them all. And by the way, they drew 121,000 over the opening 3 days, and it was not nice weather here. So I think Met fans are in a good spot here. They got an owner and Steve Cohen who went crazy spending in the off season the last few years. And yeah, you don't get Vladdy. Maybe they'll sign Alonso to a long deal.
You know, it's something. I mean, I know the Mets, you know, did well last season, but they spend all the time. And I know Marlins fans are like, okay, we need to spend. And I'm not saying don't spend at all. But even when you spend, it's how you spend, right? Because there were many years they were spending and they've got injuries and they're not doing anything at all.
Mets have only made the playoffs 4 times in 18 years.
That's amazing.
And that was the last two they have gone. They lost the wild card. Three years ago they lost the wild card, didn't make it. And then last year you mentioned they won 89 games. They didn't have a great year, but they did get through and get to the NLCS at least, right, against the Dodgers. So, yeah, it's not – look, and you're in the New York market. There's a lot of revenue coming in. There's a lot of advertising. Baseball is different than other sports. There's, you know, the revenue for the big cities is way more than the ones in the smaller revenue towns. And so they have a little more room. But the one thing for sure is they haven't outspent the Yankees historically. You know, it's always been Steinbrenner and whatever. And now the Mets are starting to get the back page here in New York.
So what was for lunch? I mean, we got a lot of New Yorkers in the audience. I need to know what you had for lunch and what other plans you have while you're there in New York.
I went to my old staple, the Astro Diner.
The Astro Diner. You're in Houston or you're in New York?
It's called the Astro Diner. It is not in Houston. but it is on the corner of, I want to say, 56th and 6th. First thing I like is I like to get my New York Post. The guy, you can't even find the guy you're buying it from. He's somewhere behind that screen. You don't even see him, but you go Post, and an arm comes out and takes $2, and I didn't even see the guy. Where's the guy hide in this stand? I don't know where he goes. But that's New York for it. It's like the guy in the train station when you go, hey, I'd like to go to the Huntington market here in Long Island. I'll call you at 65 and send your train 65 out. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. It's the same thing.
Are you going to get
I had the delicious gyro lamb pita
off
today
the
with
street?
Greek salad. Huh?
Did you get it off the street?
No. I went to the Astro Diner. I went inside him.
Okay.
I did
mean,
think
that,
about
that
going.
Sounds like one of those stands, you know, that you get at like 3 a.m. or something.
Yeah, that's the Halal guys. They are very famous here. And I did think about it, but it's rainy, and I wasn't quite sure what block they're on. So I made the left turn out of our hotel because I know where the Astro Diner is.
Well, if you get hungry for a deli sandwich, my mom swears by the Second Avenue Deli. She says she claims that is the absolute best. So if you want a deli sandwich, I mean, I've never been there. She's been there multiple times.
Second Avenue.
Yeah, don't get the Avenue wrong.
Not the Avenue. Now,
don't go to the 7th Avenue Deli.
Carnegie and the Stage have closed. They don't have the Carnegie. We went to a Carnegie diner last night, and I went with my son because he lives here and his girlfriend. And you know what? I said, can I have I had a chicken soup and a Dr. Brown's. Do you know they didn't have a Dr. Brown's?
Oh, then you got to leave.
I'm like, what? You're not a Carnegie deli.
You're not
I said
real.
To the guy, and the guy didn't really speak English very well, and He didn't really quite get the Dr. Brown's joke. But
every real deli has Dr. Brown's.
Dr. Brown's Black Cherry.
That's like staple.
You got to have and a guy didn't have the Dr. Brown's. I'm like, I said to my son, you sure you want to stay here? And the waiter was like, oh. We did stay there, but it was the soda was not Dr. Brown's.
I normally go to Junior's with Marlon's man and get a nice sandwich and a split pea soup.
That's a good one.
Very good spot. All right, so you're doing radio tonight?
Radio tonight, yes, on the Marlins Radio Network for the next 3.
Okay.
And then the Marlins will be home for Washington this coming weekend. I'll be back on TV for that.
Enjoy your stay in New York. Hopefully you come home with some W's. Craig Minervini, it's always good
having you
on. Take care, buddy.
All right.
All right, see you. Craig Minervini. You could hear him on the radio tonight, the Marlins Radio Network. You could also watch the game on FanDuel Sports Network. Or you could just go online and look at the score or follow Craig on social media, although I think his Twitter got hacked like 2 years ago and he still hasn't figured out how to get it going again. All right, that's all the time I got for this Monday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.